You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner, Mike Granham and Dave Tindall in situ ahead of the 115th US Open Championship. And here at William Hill, Rory McIlroy at the top of the betting at 7-1. Before we get stuck into the rest of the odds here with William Hill, a warm welcome to the returning Mr. Mike Grenham. Good afternoon.
Hi, Dave.
Mike.
Yeah, looking forward to it, aren't you?
Yeah, should be an absolutely cracking week. Looking forward to it immensely, and we'll talk a bit about the golf course in a few moments' time as well. Dave, good afternoon.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Mike.
Hi, David.
I think it's one of the most intriguing US Open championships for many years. And that's mainly, I think, down to the golf course, Mike. Chambers Bay, built on an old mining site, only opened in 2007. The only tournament it's hosted of any real significance was the US Amateur back in 2010. A course designed by Robert Trent Jones Jr. and a links venue, unlike what we'd usually expecting in a US Open Championship.
Completely unlike a US Open, more like an Open, or as the Americans call it, the British Open.
It's British.
Yeah. Completely unlike the normal kind of setup for US events, which obviously makes things a little bit more difficult, a bit more of a puzzle, isn't it, to work out exactly what is required. But for me, you've mentioned the word that's key this week, links play, I think is going to be very important. I don't think it'll be as windy as we sometimes see over here for our Opens, but you look at the course and it just looks like a links course, doesn't it? It's by the sea, da-da-da-da-da, they're the players I was looking at.
And Mike's mentioned that it's a links course, and the wind not expected to get up this week past about 10 miles per hour,
yeah.
Dave. But as Rob Bolton notes in his PGA Tour rankings, there's a difference of 516 yards between the shortest it can play to the longest it can play. And from its tips, the course can max out at 7,906 yards, which is just ridiculous, isn't it?
It does sound scary, doesn't it? It does sound on that you've got to be like Bubba Watson or anyone to have a half a chance of, you know, getting on in two in some of these long par fours, but it's going to play firm and fast, so there's going to be a lot of rollout, I think, isn't there? And they're not going to play it. That's a theoretical maximum, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because is it the first and the 18th? They're going to switch pars?
Yes, between pars fours and five. It will remain a constant par 70, but those two pars will change throughout the week.
Like a seesaw, one will go down kind of thing. But that's another part of the puzzle, isn't it? Just to work out whether you do need to be a long hitter. You read some of the early interviews, Jason Day saying you do, Ryan Moore. And I might put more faith in what Ryan Moore says, given that he lives around the corner.
Yeah.
He's saying, no, you don't. You need to.
But then Ryan Moore's not one of the longer players on tour, so maybe he's talking himself into it, isn't he?
But he does say, because of the conditions, you can get, like, you know, 50 yards of run on the ball. And, you know, it's important to hit. The fairways are big, but there's parts of the fairways you need to hit.
Mm.
And, you know, even holding wedges, you can't just sort of, it's not a fire at the pin course, is it? You still got to sort of land stuff short and let it run out. So it's still a test like that. So, I agree with Mike. I think Open Championship form has got to be very, very relevant this week.
Players are at the mercy of Mike Davis, aren't they, and the USGA as well, how they set up this course. I read numerous quotes on Monday, Mike, that suggest that it was a golf course that was on the edge already, and if it's that way on Monday, they'll have to control this over the 4 days.
Yeah, they will. I think it's interesting that you're saying that it might not be windy. I think one thing that the weathermen struggle to forecast sometimes in advance is the wind. Rain, they're pretty good at, aren't they, and what have you. But it could be windy, couldn't it? It's right next to the coast. There's a, you know, that would really change it, wouldn't it, if it got windy.
It's weird, isn't it? You immediately think, why won't it be windy? But Jordan Spieth, whose caddy is a member there, did say it's not normally windy there.
Apparently it's this time of the year it doesn't get past 10 miles per hour, apparently.
Yeah, we'll see, though. I've heard that before, you know, so
it's not an exact science,
is it? It isn't.
It looks like looking at the flyovers, and obviously We've not got intimate knowledge of the golf course, but looking at the design and the shape of the golf course, it's almost impossible to see where the fairways end and the greens begin without those little white dots around the around the edges of the greens. You wouldn't know, in all honesty. It's a strange look.
Well, and for all of that and all the things that we've said, I think one of the things that I'm going to do this week is I'm backing a couple of players beforehand, but I'm not going to go all in.
Yeah,
you know, I'm definitely saving some money for in-player betting because I want. It looks like it's going to be a really good course, something a bit different. You want to have an interest, don't you? I think you don't want to burn all your money in the first round, do you? So I'll be saving a bit back and having a look in play. I've got two bets. Pre-tournament, that's all. But I think you need to see how the course plays a bit. Yeah.
Let me spin through the betting then here with William Hill. Rory McIlroy is the 7-1 favourite. Jordan Spieth is in the market at 8-1. Justin Rose and Phil Mickelson both 16s. Dustin Johnson 20-1. Ricky Fowler is 22s. Hideki Matsuyama 25-1. Henrik Stenson is 28-1, and it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. Two picks for me as well, Dave. How many selections have you got this week?
Well, possibly four.
Okay.
But if you've got one of them, I might pull one back.
You better.
One of them is if I don't back him and he wins, I will be...
Devastated. Okay. You tee off then here, Mr.
Yeah.
Tingle.
I'll put my main one up first. It's fairly obvious because he's near the front of the market. Justin Rose. Obviously won it in 2013. I think one of the battles with the US Open isn't... You can talk as much as you like about the weirdness of this course, but often the US Open, it's just hard, isn't it? So you need someone with the right temperament. That's, I think, a good starting point. Someone who doesn't get flustered and gets all... You know, I think it's slightly against Rory McIlroy. When he did win the US Open, he won by such a mile, he never put himself under any pressure, did he, at all? Never got a chance to get agitated. Well, I think Rose is just a cool head. When have you ever seen Justin Rose lose the plot? You just don't, do you? He's a very cool customer. He's been there since last week, so this idea that you need to do lots of practice rounds, he's put all the work in. He even walked the course with Robert Trent Jones Jr.
Right, okay.
Who gave him a few sort of tips and stuff. So he just seems to have done all the prep, very fastidious, he's done all, you know, putting all the homework, and I think he'll reap the rewards, to be honest. Played well in the last three US Opens. I think it was 12th last year when he defended. And you do get a lot of... last 25 years, there's been quite a lot of repeat winners. Like Els won it twice, Goosen won it twice, Tiger's won it three times. Going a bit further back to when me and Mike first started betting, like Jansen won it a couple of times, Payne Stewart.
Yes, he did, yeah.
So it does throw up, and I think that's because
demands of the test.
They've got the right temperament for it.
Yeah.
Where others are going to, the Tories are going to come out of the pram, aren't they, with certain players. So Rose...
You see your headline, yes?
Yeah, played great in the Masters, second in the Masters, second the other week at Memorial.
Yeah.
I just think I can't see him not challenging.
Okay. Justin Rose at 16-1. Dave's headline selection. Mike?
My headline pick is Henrik Stenson, Dave. A great links player. In the last six Opens, he's got three excellent finishes over here. A couple of thirds and a second. Didn't play quite so well in 2014, but still finished top 40. Great greens in regulation, man. Just due to win a major, I think. Had decent form at the beginning of this year, won in Dubai at the back end of the last. He's slightly gone off his form in recent weeks, but I'm very hopeful at Stenson, who finished third in the last two PGAs and fourth in last year's US Open. So he's starting to build up some really good form in the US majors, away from Augusta particularly. I just think he's really ready to break his duck in majors. And my only slight worry is that he's lower down the driving distance rankings in the US than you'd expect. He's 98th, and I think driving distance is going to be very important this week. But I think he hits a lot of three woods off the tees, and I'm pretty convinced that he can hit as far as most of them. So that might be misleading, that stat. So I really do want bombers on my side, long hitters this week, and I think Stenson is one in disguise. So Stenson, who is a tremendous links player, as I say, those three... British Open, if you want to call it that, good finishes in the last six that he's played in really encouraged me to think this might be his week. And I have a feeling he'll go off about 33s tomorrow morning. He'll be 33s with William Hill, I reckon. That maybe he's 28s now.
He is, yeah.
I think he'll drift in the morning because we tend to push them out in the morning. So, yeah, Stenson, number one pick.
Not a lot of people talking about Henrik Stenson as well.
That's why I think he'll drift.
He might drift because of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to lead off with the same bomber I picked in the Masters, and this didn't go well first time round, so I'll try again. Jimmy Walker is my headline selection here. He was 40-1 this morning. He's into 33, so I'd wait until Wednesday to see if he goes back out to 40-1. But I think given that everything we've read this week, my second selection's not a bomber, and I wanted a bomber on my side, definitely, given the just the thoughts and the sentiments coming from a lot of people that have either played the course or have seen the course, suggesting, along with Jason Day, that Dave mentioned, that length is going to be a factor off the tee. And having backed him around about 22s for the Masters, I thought it was well worth a shot here at 33s. Historically, he's got a tendency to put his best weeks together in clumps as well, so it was encouraging to me to find him come out of his slump with a second place finish at the Byron Nelson, and I'm hoping he can build on last year's major form. Well documented that he finished top 10 in all three US majors last season, and he's already got a couple of wins on tour as well this season. Winner at Pebble Beach last year, which is of course the other notable American links course, and this place allows him space off the tee, which is really what he needs. He's a strong long iron player as well, which could be crucial this week. I see a lot of players going in from 175 to 225. That could be a key area. And he went close at Kapalua as well earlier on in the season. You think about Kapalua, course with wide fairways, huge greens. I thought he was the one that slightly overpriced towards the head of the market, and he's 13th in the all-around ranking as well, which is good. So I'll go with Jimmy Walker at 33-1.
Yeah, you touch on that all-around ranking. That's kind of my big thing this week, the all-around ranking.
Right.
I looked at the last 10 US Open winners, and for that week when they won it, it's ridiculous. They all finished like first in the all-around ranking, first. And the average all-around ranking position of the last 10 winners is 2.3.
Is that right?
Yeah. Which is one thing, isn't it? But it's like, well, how could you have guessed that they would...
Slightly self-evident, I would say, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
How could you have guessed that they were? But, so then I looked back at how those 10 winners performed...
In the season?
The previous... No, well, I thought maybe I just need to go off the season rankings, but did something much more basic than that and just looked at how they'd performed on the all-round in their previous event before their win.
Right, okay.
Because that's kind of the very latest kind of, you know, thermostat test of their all-round game. And pleasingly, because I was kind of hoping this would happen... Six of the eight had placed in the top 10 in the all-around the week.
Right.
Well, not the week before, but the tournament before. So that was kind of a, there you go, look, my game's all-around good. It's going to show up again the following week, and so it did. So that, you would have thought, well, I wasn't sure how many that would knock it down to, but it did knock it down an awful lot, that. So players who finished in the top 10 in the all-around ranking on their latest start. Do you want me to read them out? It's not a long list.
Go on.
Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
Andy Sullivan, Justin Rose, obviously good for
first
me.
First pick, yeah.
Yeah. Hideki Matsuyama, Jimmy Walker.
Oh, that's good news.
Good for you. Byung-Hun Ahn, Mark Leishman, Kevin Kisner, Danny Willett, Tony Finau, Francisco Molinari, Kevin Chappell, and Tom Hoag.
Okay.
So it does eliminate a lot of the sort of big names. Mm. I mean, it's obviously, it's a theory, that's all it is. But I just think... Mike Davis always says, oh, it's a test of the all-round game, and it's played out that way in past US Opens. Mm. And just like the fact that they've kind of tipped us the wink, haven't they? The players who have played well on the all-round when they've won, they've done it
previously
as well, not kind of back in March or back in January. So those are that list of players, I would suggest... Well, that's formulated a lot of my thinking, to be honest.
Who's your second pick then? Here,
so the
Dave?
Second one, I might have missed him off, actually. Adam Scott.
Okay, he's your second selection.
Adam Scott. He was eighth on the all-round at Memorial on his last start.
Yep.
Now, obviously, Adam Scott, the fear with him, isn't it, is his putting. It's not been good and he's been switching around. The thing I think might really help him this week, the kind of X factor, he's got Steve Williams back on the bag. For like the last three majors of the season, and he's talked him out of whatever he does, mucking about with stock cars, whatever he does, or climbing mountains, whatever you do in New Zealand. So he's got him back.
Shearing sheep, I think.
Yeah, it's wandering about. He's back. He reads greens brilliantly, doesn't he? And that might be half the battle. Scott's reading of the greens might have been, personally, mine's absolutely useless. But if I play with a good player and they say, oh, hit it there,
you can do
it's
it.
Half the battle, isn't it, really? I look at him, I thought, I don't even know which way this is going. I'm not sure Adam Scott's quite that bad, but obviously it's going to help having him on the bag.
Yeah.
Back to Mike's idea of you need to have good open form. Well, Scott's come in the top five in definitely. The last three Open Championships. Got a brilliant record in that event. Clearly likes the idea where you need to imagine it, bounce balls in short. I think you might have mentioned him last week, Dave, to me. That he was maybe on your long list
He was on my long. He didn't make the cut, but yeah, I think he's coming back to form, definitely.
Yeah, so he's 33-1. I think he's under the radar this week. I think there's lots of players. A bit like Stenson. They're not sort of the talking horses, are they? Everyone's sort of talking about others near the front of the market. I just think Adam Scott's got an awful lot going for him, and maybe the one negative is his putting, and maybe that can be sorted out. And anyway, on these massive greens, is putting that
this week? 33-1, we've not really talked about the greens, have we, Mike? Because they look terrible.
They don't look great, do they?
They look terrible, but apparently everyone's saying that's how fescue greens look anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad thing. And Ryan Moore commented, and he said they're rolling truly. Yeah. So hopefully the greens won't be an issue.
It's
this
hard
week.
To know, isn't it? You know, if it gets very firm and fast, you know, being able to get your ball near to the hole and get them down will be very important on these big greens. I know people are saying that putting might not be that important, but
it usually is at the end of the week, isn't it?
We kind of don't know, do we? You want to be avoiding three putts rather, obviously, don't you?
But Adam Scott obviously hits it a mile, and he's a very good links player. Basic.
It looks a good fit, doesn't it, for him? Yeah. Definitely does. Mike?
Dustin Johnson is my second pick, Dave. Tied fourth in this last year, tied eighth in 2010. Another guy who's got a great links record in our Open, 14th, 2nd, 9th, 32nd and 12th in his last few goes at the Open over this side of the pond. And he's also got three top 10s in his last five USPGAs. So he is clearly a guy who's knocking on the door in majors, a massive hitter, been in decent form, pulled out of the St. Jude Classic at the weekend because he was bored, I reckon.
That's a scurrilous suggestion.
It's just my thoughts. I'm happy to discuss it with him if he wants to chat about it. Played well in Byron in the Memorial before that, won the Cadillac earlier this year, some nice form. Sixth in the US Masters on his last major appearance. Yeah, I just think, again, I think he's another one that will drift tomorrow morning. I think he'll be bigger than 20s in the morning, so I'm hoping for a bit of 25 or 22. That's what I'm waiting for Wednesday morning to back him. But I think this could well be Johnson's time. He's been playing great, plays superb links golf, hits it a mile. What more do you need?
No, I'm hoping Dustin Johnson runs well this week. It wouldn't be a golf podcast without mentioning the money list bet, so hopefully he gets some more dollars on the board. My second selection, I've gone with a slightly shorter hitter, so I'm hoping length isn't going to be a huge advantage this week. I'm going with Brant Snedeker at 40-1 as my second selection. It's impossible to know with any degree of certainty whether his lack of length from the tee is going to be the determining factor at the end of the week. I missed the price a little bit on Brant Snedeker. He was a little bit bigger earlier on in the week, so I'm hoping for a little bit longer on Wednesday morning. But he's got that perfect blend of experience, US Open form, and Open Championship form, and that's what I'm looking for this week. And in addition to that, he's got current form as well. Last two starts, he's finished tied second at Colonial, then tied sixth at the Byron Nelson. He's taken a couple of weeks off subsequently. Hopefully, he's been working at the course. I've not had any real insight into that. I'm just hoping that 2 weeks off, you'd think he's got there early. Another winner at Pebble Beach earlier in the season as well. He's got the links form I'm looking for. Four top 15 finishes in the US Open in the last 7 years. Two top 15s in the Open as well. Aggressive putting could be key, especially on the short ones here. I think if the greens do get bumpy, you need to be hitting them firm to hold the line. So I'm hoping Snedeker goes well this week, and I like him at 40-1 in this championship.
Good stuff.
Good, yeah. I'm going to use that as that's a nice segue into my third pick.
Good.
The one I was going to mention at the end, but I'll mention him now. When I was reading through Ryan Moore's quotes, he brought up the 2013 Open Championship at Muirfield. He said this week's course very much reminds him of how Muirfield played in 2013 on the weekend.
Right, okay.
Where it's very sort of fiery and fast and bouncy. So this is my latest, the codswallop theory, but I'll run with it. So my theory
was... You're going to be the crackpot after this week, after this week's podcast.
So I thought, well, let's look at that week. Let's go back to that weekend. Let's revisit that and see who played the best scores, who played the best on that weekend.
Yeah.
Now, not surprisingly, the person who played best was the winner, Phil Mickelson. He played the weekend in -4. So I'm going to put him up. I'll come to that in a second. But the second best player that weekend was Brant Snedeker, who played it in played it in -1. The other two played it under par with Sterney. I don't think he's not even playing.
Stenson played well that weekend.
He was second in the tournament. He didn't play well on Saturday.
No, he played it +2 the weekend.
Okay.
It's not that bad, but Sterney and Bradley were the other two to play it under par. Adam Scott, which is good news for my bet, he played it level par, as did Poulter, Blixton, Paul Laurie. So quite a few kind of open specialists in that lot, isn't there, who shone when the Open was really sort of baring its teeth. So back to Mickelson. Obviously, we didn't ever used to think of him as a British Open player, but then he goes and finishes second, like, impossibly. How could he finish second in windy, ridiculously hard Royal St George's, and yet he did?
Yeah.
That kind of maybe turned the corner for him. Then he goes and wins at Muirfield when it's Lynx at its pure Lynx-ish. And then the US Open doesn't need anyone to say, does it? Six runners-up finishes. He's got to like this course, surely.
You think he says he likes it, doesn't he, as well?
Smashes it off the tee, all the creation. Because they're going to muck about, aren't they? They're going to change the par and they're going to move the tee boxes up and down. You can imagine him and Bones just kind of talking all night about it, and theorising and everything, talking that little bit louder when the mic's on so they sound clever. So I just think an awful lot set up for him. Yeah, so Mickelson, he's 16-1. We've said before, haven't we? That's kind of my each-way price.
Yeah.
He was 22s before his weekend finish in St Jude, but at least that was a good sign that he's playing well. He's often gone into...
That is a good thing for Mickelson, isn't it, as well, that week before a major championship?
Yeah, he likes to play, and he likes to play
well.
It'd
be nice to see him win a US Open, wouldn't it?
That'd be great.
He deserves
it. I mean,
I wouldn't begrudge him.
Mickelson and Snedeker, your third and fourth picks at 16s and 40s, respectively.
No,
I wouldn't begrudge him.
No, Snedeker's not a pick.
Oh, not a pick, Snedeker.
No, I was just showing him to reassure you.
Oh, that's good.
So
that's
what's your fourth pick then, Dave?
I want the reassurance.
So the third pick, Mickelson. The final one, back to this idea of you need to be playing well on the all-around. Well, number one on the all-around ranking at Memorial was Mark Leishman.
Okay.
100-1. He's had two top fives in recent majors, the Masters 2013, then last year in the Open. So he's kind of proven himself at this on this level. Because he's not up there that often, I think he sometimes forgets. He gets dismissed as a kind of a bit of a, mediocre sort of player. But he can really play well, especially on tough courses. I just think this might suit him. Yeah, he doesn't hit it that far, but a little bit further than you think, maybe. And I just think that for all his game to come together at the right time at Memorial, I think that puts down a marker.
Mm.
And yeah, I do kind of think the top end of the market is where it's at. I think the winner will come from that. But I do want a three-figure price on my side. And I thought Mark Leishman at 100-1 had the credentials with that major record and good play at Memorial where he was fifth to maybe land some each-way money.
Good stuff.
Top six,
100-1 Mark Leishman, Dave's final selection. It is a quarterly odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6 here with William Hill. Mike, let's just have a quick word on the top end of the market before we look at some of the supporting bets on offer. McIlroy, 7-1.
Yeah, I don't have him as a Lynx player, so which might be a bit odd considering that he's the Open champion, but...
It was rainy, wasn't it, though, at Hoy Lake?
Yeah, a bit different. I don't see him winning a whole load of Opens. So, look, he hits it a mile, and I wouldn't
rule...
Didn't
play that well in the Irish, though, did he, Wentworth?
No, he didn't. Hits it a mile, I just don't think... If he got a bit windy, for example, I wouldn't fancy him. I could see him or Spieth winning, don't get me wrong, but because, particularly Rory hits it so far, but he's not for me at that price this week.
Which one of the top two do you prefer, then, Mike?
McIlroy.
You prefer McIlroy to Jordan Spieth?
Yep.
What about you, Dave?
Definitely Spieth.
Definitely Spieth for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Just with his caddy's experience?
I just think he tends not to go wrong very often, as I think he said in the interview, he's hitting it nicely, said he wished the tournament started 2 days ago.
Right.
I'm not sure, just on Twitter, I kind of got the impression from a couple of Irish journalists that Rory's head maybe wasn't quite in the greatest of places.
Oh, really?
Well, like, just ever so slightly.
His performances haven't been fantastic, yeah, in the last few events, so
I think
that's why I'm not backing him.
I think he's kind of saving himself for St Andrews, I think that's when he'll give it all, his all. I'd rather back him there at half the price than here.
We better just give a quick mention to Hideki Matsuyama as well, yeah, because that's one of Mark Adsed's picks.
Yeah, he likes him.
Tony Finau is the other one, our compiler. Hideki Matsuyama, 25-1. Ball striker supreme, obviously. Host of top finishes on the PGA Tour this season, including that tie for fifth when defending at Memorial last time out. Fifth at the Masters. Major records only going to improve. Any negatives with Matsuyama? No, just the price, maybe?
That list, I said, of players who've come in the top 10 on the all-round in the last event, Matsuyama's on there, as is Tony Finau, funnily enough. Yeah. So, what Finau is what, 100 and...
125, yeah, Finau.
Mark's keeping him on side,
yeah,
there, isn't he?
Yeah, he's advanced,
yeah, which is good. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right with Matsuyama. It's one of those ones, I think we've got like his pass prices slightly in our heads, so we can't quite get used to,
yeah,
him being 25-1. But I think he deserves to be.
Yeah.
On his form, he totally deserves to be. So he's, when we come to the who do you not want to win, I think he'd be on my list. Because you can't back too many favourites.
The player I don't want to win at the moment because I haven't backed him, and I was very close to putting him in. But as I said, I wanted to keep some stakes back. So there are two players that were very close. If I was picking three, the third would have been Bubba Watson.
Okay.
Because he hits it so far. And the only US major that was on a kind of links course, Whistling Straits kind of links, wasn't it, 2010? Yeah. He was second there, wasn't he? So he continues to play sneaky well, Bubba. I've been watching him on Periscope. He's on Periscope every 2 minutes. He's on Periscope. He seems very buoyant. You may have seen that ridiculous putty holder.
Yeah, I did see that. That was great, wasn't it?
You know, double carpet 33-1, which might be pushed out tomorrow. I might get lured into Bubba.
Yeah.
He's, for me, always underrated.
I think a lot of people just think about Bubba and his terrible temperament.
Yeah.
But he likes creating shots on golf courses.
And
that's his game. And I think this course fits him. I do.
I'm very tempted by him.
I think he likes creating shots on golf courses when you're going to be winning with about 15 under.
So you think it might be too tough for him?
Okay. Dustin Johnson, by the way, for Mike.
We might win this with 15 under, though. You know, we don't know.
Yeah, everyone's assuming the winning score's going to be over par, aren't they? We don't know.
Yeah, it looks that way, but I don't know. You just don't know, do you?
I think they can control that. I think they've got so much control over this course, I think they can really, you know, make it.
I've left him for now, but Bubba was, he was close for me. And the other guy who I am going to probably have a little bet myself, just in case, is Jeff Ogilvie, a past US Open winner, who I've picked a few times lately, and I think he'll play well.
I'm not saying a quote, but I think he'll love it. I think he'll love the sort of test.
He likes that kind of mental challenge. And he's got, again, some decent links for him in the Open, so he'd be my big price one.
Let's look at some of the supporting markets then. I've actually got a couple of bets in some of the supporting markets that I quite like the look of. We've got loads on the website.
I'll definitely mention a couple myself, Dave, yeah?
I'll kick us off then.
Go on.
I'm going with Danny Willett to be top Englishman. I know it goes completely against Dave's assessment of the event with Justin Rose, your headline selection, but he's 10-1 in that market, and I quite like this price, actually. He's second in the Race to Dubai list behind Rory McIlroy, which is testament to his consistency so far this season. But not only that, you look at the way he's played at Harding Park, and the match play was superb there. Back that up with a tie for sixth at the Irish Open as well at Portrush, which is, of course, a Lynx venue. And I'm surprised to see him at 10s in this market. Rose is as short as 6-4 in the betting. Paul Casey, not got a great recent record in the US Open or the Open Championship. Luke Donald, not the player he was just yet. I know he could come back, but not the player he was just yet. And I'm not sure about Lee Westwood entirely, really. I think this market's got a look for a shock here. So I'll take Danny Willett at 10-1 to be the top Englishman, given he's playing such good golf at the moment. So he's my
interesting. I didn't look at it in this side of the pond, as they say. I had a look at top European. Two players caught my eye a little bit there. Bernd Wiesberger, 50-1.
Yes.
Yeah, played well in Ireland on links. Shane Lowry, 33s. As you said, there's you know, I'm kind of going against Henrik Stenson there, who's my outright pick. But if he doesn't play well, I might have might look at a little saver on Wiesberger and Lowry. Both can play well on links. Wiesberger played pretty well in a major in the US last year, so they interested me a little bit.
Okay, Dave.
Yeah, back to that top English player. The one I looked at was Andy Sullivan.
Yeah, he's playing well, isn't he?
He has that air of like being a competition winner who's got to play with the best, just because he's sort of smiling and he didn't do much early on in his career. Suddenly he's made this giant stride, hasn't he, in the last year, and won twice in South Africa. And then, you know, he turns up at Memorial and you think, oh, he's just there to sort of make the cut and make up the numbers. And whoa, he's like right up there. Yeah. So 16-1, I think that's a fair price, because you've gone through a lot of them. There's definitely doubts over Donald Westwood. Poulter sort of immediately said he didn't like it without even seeing it. So
it's typical Poulter, isn't it?
He might get in a bad mood about it. So, I mean, it's a fifth 1-2-3. So even though I do like Justin Rose, certainly scope to back Andy Sullivan each way in that market, I think.
And the other market I liked was top South African. Brandon Grace is 7-2 in this market. The other players around him look out of form to me. Louis Oosthuizen's had problems. He's 3-1 favourite in the market. Charles Schwartzel's, he's completely gone at the game, hasn't he?
And
really,
he was really moaning about the course as well.
Yeah, so I don't like him at 4-1. Ernie Els has got a good Open Championship and US Open record. Yep. He's a danger in the market, definitely. George Kutsaya hasn't been playing well recently. Same applies to Retief Goosen. Aiken's worth a look at 10-1, but I like Brandon Grace in that market.
I'm glad you're not doing the top American market if you're going through every player.
Solid selection at 7-2. I like Brandon Grace there, Mike.
Number 73. do you know what? I like him with the top rest of the world at 16s, which is a slightly different market. And Ogilvy's 28s in that market, which kind of merges a few of those. So I'm with you on Grace.
He's a long hitter.
Yeah.
He's got links form, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And he's two-time winning on tour this season as well.
Loves links.
Yeah.
You might be more prudent to go for the 7-2 in the top South African. I was looking more at the 16s in the top rest of the world. We'll see.
Just to muddy the waters, I like Els in that market.
Do you?
Top South African.
Yeah, I can see Els playing.
I just think he's got nothing to beat apart from Grace. Who stays and pulled out again with a neck injury?
Well,
in
you could
last
back
start.
You could back those two against the rest in that market, couldn't you?
So it's a fifth 1-2-3. So Els at 6-1 is
20-1 in the top rest of the world, Ernie.
Yeah, it's just obviously on his blog, he always gives you good insights on his blog. One of the better blogs around.
Look at that top rest of the world market, though. I promise you, there's a lot of average players in it. Have a look.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Before we wrap it up, then, who's the player you don't want to win this week, Mike?
Well, if I don't back Bubba,
yeah, it would be him.
But Billy Horschel.
Yeah, of course, of course. I was expecting you to come onto the podcast this week and then back Billy Horschel, who we've not even mentioned. 50-1.
Not sure about his links play. He hits it a long way, and he's great ball striker. Just worry about his links ability.
No, that's fair enough. A guy that I've not mentioned as well that would be my player that I don't want to win this week would be Kevin Kisner at 80-1. You look at if it doesn't suit long hitters particularly, you look at his form coming into this championship. If scrambling and putting come to the fore, that's his MO really. He's unflappable as well. 4 top tens in his last 6 starts. Couple of playoff losses in there as well. Tied 5th at Colonial, tied 8th at Memorial coming in. If it was a tighter, more strategic golf course, I'd definitely be on Kevin Kisner this week. But
it's not.
If it is a bomber's paradise. No, it doesn't look like it is, does it? It doesn't look like it is, but we don't know how it's going to play,
do we?
We don't. With any degree of certainty.
Which is going back to that thing earlier on. Save a bit back. For
definitely.
Betting in play, because all our theories might look, even Dave's, might look crazy after day one. Because things can, it could be different than what we expect.
One thing I've read as well, the fescue grass, it gets faster in the afternoon.
Yes.
Rather than slower, which other grasses do. So it might play, I mean, you often think things play easier in the morning anyway.
Yes. It could be even more tough in the afternoon.
It could be exaggerated.
Yeah.
So if you're having a first round leader bet, you want to be looking at the morning, I think.
I think you're
more so than normal.
Definitely right there. Who's the player you don't want to win then?
Matsuyama probably. Yeah. The other one who I'd kind of grown a bit because it does seem fairly obvious is Ricky Fowler, 22-1.
Yeah, I think
it's like
sure.
You can't. I think it's a good front end of the market, and obviously you have to come down on one or two of them.
Well, 7 years ago, who would have thought we'd be doing a podcast on the US Open and not mentioning Tiger Woods?
That's it. First mention of Tiger Woods, 66-1.
His last win in the major was 7 years ago in this event, wasn't it?
Today, yeah.
Today. We're recording this on Tuesday. And he's not even going to get a mention.
No. You can't back him, can you, though?
No. Neither is Arnold Palmer, to be
no,
fair.
That is true. That is true.
Did you read Jason
Tiger Woods
Day's
66ers? Yeah, I did. It was interesting, that, wasn't it?
If he could hit the fairway, then... I'll stop you there, because these fairways are like 100 yards wide.
I couldn't believe that.
Can't even hit them.
Yeah, he played with Jason Day, and Day said basically said his iron play and his putting is on point. He just needs to hit a fairway.
I mean, how wide does he need them?
And it's not looking good.
No, it's not looking good. So
Dave Kay said he'd never win another major, and I agreed with him at the time.
That was about 5 years ago.
That was about 5 years
ago,
and he still hasn't won one.
No, so I'm hoping Tiger, it's a better sport when he's involved at the top end of the
I'm not giving up on him totally, but he needs to play more, and he needs to focus on it more.
Let's recap the selections then. Dave, start off with your four picks.
Do you want the staking?
Yes, give us a staking plan as well.
I'll probably go 2 points each way, Justin Rose. Point and a half each way on Phil Mickelson.
Yep.
Point each way, Adam Scott at 33s.
Yep.
And I'll go a point each way, Mark Leishman at 100-1.
Okay. Mike?
I'll just have a point each way on both of mine, Dave. Henrik Stenson, hopefully a bit bigger than 28s tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, UK time. And ditto Dustin Johnson, who's 20s at the moment. I'm hoping they'll both be a little bit bigger.
Yeah, same applies to my two picks, in fact. I'm going to point each way, Brant Snedeker, currently 40-1. Point each way, Jimmy Walker at 33-1. And I'm going to have a couple of bets in those supporting markets as well. I'll play a point win Danny Willett at 10-1 and a point win on Brandon Grace, hopefully to cover the stakes at 72 in the top South African market.
I might well do Wiesberger on that top Euro, I think.
Yep. Good stuff. Thank you.
And Jeff Ogilvy.
And Jeff Ogilvy, of course. Yep.
What is he? What is Ogilvy, by the way?
Ogilvy
200,
is 200. A big price.
I'll have to have a bet on him at 200.
It's 200 not to 1.
No, I'm only having two picks, but between you and I, listen, I'll be back again.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Golf Podcast. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at D Kellner, at M Grenham, and at Dave Tindall Golf. Make sure you get your bets on in good time for the 115th US Open Championship. Intriguing event from Chambers Bay, and McIlroy, the 7-1 favourite here with William Hill. We'll speak again next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.